weak deep inside of me, and I moaned all day long. He moaned. Are there ever times that you have committed sin that you feel weak? Or should I say, the conscience gets a hold of you so much that you can't think of anything else but that? It worries you? You know, Edgar Allan Poe wrote a story about that called The Telltale Heart. And in this, the main character kills someone. He took him downstairs and he buried him into the walls and everything, thinking that would take care of everything. And every time he turned around, he kept hearing this heartbeat. And he thought, this guy must still be alive, and I know I killed him. But in reality, it was his own heart beating, wasn't it? Because of what he had done. Now, you may not have ever killed someone and buried them in the wall or something, but has there been a sin that you created that you didn't want to deal with? You didn't want to face up or to own up? Or maybe today, as we're looking into this lesson, there's a sin that you have committed because you're trying to cover up another sin, and you're trying to cover up another sin. And so as we look at this morning, I want us to see how David overcame. And when he looked at this verse, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. As we come to church on Sunday mornings, we come to have that renewed, steadfast spirit, don't we? We need to be energized. Now, we're getting into the winter months. Four-wheelers, motorcycles, and stuff like that are all being put up for the winter, that are sports-wise anyway. And we have what we call a tender that we put on this battery to keep it all winter from going dead. But if you don't do that, then when you come out in the spring to start it up, guess what's going to happen? It won't start. This is the same concept. We come each Sunday to be what? Charged up. We need that tender all week to help us along. We need the Word of God to create at us a clean heart. Quickly, I want to see four things. First, there's a need in our lives for cleansing. We need to look each and every day and see that there are. Paul said, for all have sinned. Everybody, right? I don't know of a person that has not sinned. I know people that have said they did not sin, but I don't know of anybody that has not sinned. As we think about that word sin, what are we trying to define when we say sin? In our Sunday school class, our kids today noticed there were big sins, and then there were little sins. But then one of them spoke up and said, in God's eyes, sin is sin. So great lesson that we got off to today, and we started looking at it and whatnot. We need to see that we all sin, that we all need to be what? Cleansed, don't we? In the American Indians, a lot of times what they would do is they'd have these places, and they would go into it, and it would be heated, and they'd sweat, called sweat boxes. Today, we like to not use that word sweat, do we? So we call it what? Saunas, don't we? But what do you actually do in a sauna? You sweat. And the purpose of that is to what? Cleanse the pores, isn't it? Isn't that what they use? Well, that's the same thing that we're talking about here. When we go to God and confess our sins, we're doing what? We're cleansing ourselves, aren't we? And so we come together and we need to get on our hands and knees and say, God created me a clean heart. Not change my sin, but create a what? Clean heart. If our heart can change, then the sin will change too, and it will disappear, won't it? We won't do that anymore when we've got a cleansed heart. We see that he also says, purge me, clean me out. Now, I used to go down to my aunt and uncle's house when I was a smaller child and spend 2 weeks on the farm. It was more exciting than the big town and everything, but on this farm, we would work, and it was tobacco farm, so therefore, we dealt with tobacco a lot. And if you've ever dealt with tobacco, you know that it's real gummy and sticky. In fact, even dirt sticks to it and your skin. Friday night, we had a big tub in the kitchen. And my aunt would clean us. And I could have bet you a dime to a dollar she didn't use soap and water and a rag. It was soap and water and a Brillo pad because that's about what it felt like. And she would scrub and she would scrub until she got every bit of that gum off of us, all of that dirt off of us. Our skins could be red, and sometimes we thought she'd even washed the skin off of us. But she made sure that we were clean on Friday nights. Folks, this is what God wants to do. He wants us to be clean each and every day. And therefore, He is calling us to come and to be purged. And David says, wash me thoroughly from my sins. Cleanse me from my sins. That's what we need today, folks. We need a washing of the sins, don't we? We need to be cleaned up. We need to see that dirty word sin is exactly what it says. It is dirty. It is filthy. It is scum. And it will take only Jesus Christ to change it. All of us are dirty with sin, whether we want to admit it or not. Well, I didn't do anything bad today. I didn't cuss. I didn't do this or I didn't do that. You know, so I'm a pretty good fella today, wasn't I? Well, if you hadn't have done anything, you just did it, didn't you? We do sin each and every day. We may not be ugly. We may not have made a face at somebody. We've not cussed someone out. But if we're not helping people for the name of Jesus Christ, isn't that just as bad too? If we have thoughts in our minds, isn't that? If we tell lies, and Lord knows, men, we get in a lot of trouble with that with our wives, don't we? I do. My wife will look at me on Sunday mornings to put a dress or something on and says, does this make me look fat? Well, right now in my case, it doesn't. But before then, I would look at her and I said, no, dear, it does not. Because if I'd have said it made her look fat, it wouldn't be the fact that she went and changed it. It would be the fact that you could have at least told me I looked good in it. But I'm not supposed to lie either, am I? So how do we determine what sin is? Is a lie as bad as murder or rape? Can a rapist come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Can a murderer be cleansed of their sin? What I read in the Scriptures is Jesus Christ died for what? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? That's what He came on this earth, the religious people. I need to come on this earth and continue to associate with them. But no, it wasn't. He came for everyone, not only for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and all of the religious people, but He came for the Roman soldiers that beat Him and whipped Him. He came from Caesar who ruled, from Pilate who said, crucify Him. To all of that, He came and He washed our sins away, every one of us on this earth that sinned from that day to this day until the day that He comes home, didn't He? He has washed our sins away. He has done it. And the second thing we see is that cleansing needs to begin in the heart. David didn't say, change my behavior. He said, change my heart. Help me, Lord, to draw closer to You, isn't it? Change my heart is what he wanted. This is what he was looking for. That is why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I don't want you to sit back all proud just because you've never murdered anyone. I want you to know what's in your heart. Jesus doesn't care what we do on the outside, does he? What he is content with is our heart. Because if we can change our heart, our attitudes change, don't we? Now, God is working on me, and one big sin that I have a hard time with, actually there's several, but this one in particular, and it's called patience. As you know, I've shared before, I'm not a very patient driver. I'm probably on the verge of what they would call one of those, what do they call them now, Gary? Road rage drivers. I don't shake my fist at them or anything like that, but I would like for them to hurry up and get out of my way, you know? But in my mind, I'm saying, would you get out of here? I need to get on about my business. And we do have a tendency to get in a hurry, and instead of waiting for that person to get over so we can pass, we'll dart out around this way and come around the other way, right, to get past them. And then, ha-ha, I got you. Or you're sitting at a stoplight. It changed, the cars went, and it turned yellow about the time you got there, and all of a sudden you had to stop a second time, didn't you? Because somebody didn't move out fast enough. So as you think of those things, you have to change. Now I'm beginning to learn that when I come up to an intersection and somebody is waiting to get out patiently and hoping that somebody will let them out, I've been able to see my hand go up and say, go ahead. I'll be honest with you, that was not God. That was not me raising my hand. That was God. Because I had thought to get there, that person can wait at least one more car. But you see, God works in us. He changes our attitudes. He changes our love. He changed my love for the message of Jesus Christ. And when that, we begin to see that some of our sins will change. I want you to notice that he says in Ephesians 4:22-24 that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, the true righteousness. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Are we renewed today? Are we coming about today learning and growing and reading our scriptures? The NCV says, but you were taught to be made new in your hearts to become a new person. Paul says we are a new creation in Jesus Christ, aren't we? We became new. We are to put the old away and bring the new back in. That is what he's saying. Concentrate, if you would. Concentrate on the new. Work on the new. And forget the past and the things of the past, but to create. Third, God says, God creates the clean heart. David didn't do it himself. My mother has taught me how to wash myself, clean myself when I take a shower and stuff like that. But you know, there's times when you get out working on cars or in the field or something, and soap just won't take it off. Will it? You can't do it yourself. You cannot create and change the heart, but God has to do it. And that's why he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. That's what he's talking about. He's asking God to change it. There's a story told and an illustration that I found. And in that illustration, it goes like this. It was a group of scientists who came together one day and decided that man had come a long ways and no longer needed God. So they picked one scientist to go and tell God that they were done with him. The scientist walked up to God and he says, God, we've decided that we no longer need you. We're to the point that we could clone people and do many miraculous things. So why don't you just go on and just get lost? God listened very patiently and kindly to the man. And after the scientist was talking, God said, very well, how about this? Let's have a man-making contest. To which the scientist replied, okay, great. God added, now we're going to do this just like we did back in the old days with Adam. The scientist said, sure, no problem. And he bent down and he grabbed himself a handful of dirt. And God looked at him and said, no, 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 get your own dirt. God is in control of everything, even the dirt that he picked up to make man. We need God. God doesn't need us, folks. We need him. And David was the one that realized that he needed God to do what? To cleanse him. He can't do it. He needed God to cleanse him. And so that's what we come together to do today. It's obvious only God has the ability to take and to change. The fourth thing, we must have an attitude that allows God to change our heart. An attitude. I'm learning with grandbabies. They have attitudes. One minute they can be just as sweet as they can be, and the next minute they're pushing that limit. Don't do. And they kind of look at you, grin, and just kind of slide over a little bit more, and you look at them, you say, I told you not to do it, and they smile at you and just look at you, and they just ease right on over, don't they? How are we with God? God says that we should not create and commit sin, and we kind of look at God, and we do what? Move right on over, don't we? If not, why is there so much sin in the world today? Why are we seeing more sin created and less sins being forgiven and confessed. We have come to the point that we can say that, well, I'm going to go ahead and sin. God's already sent Jesus to die on the cross. My sins have been forgiven. So what difference does it make? If I commit it, Jesus already forgave me. God's already forgiven me. Right? We use our scriptures that God is trying to draw us closer to Him to actually use it against Him, don't we? So as we think about that, we must have a right attitude, an attitude. In Psalm 51:17, he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." We need to come to Him. I read an article once about a guy that said he wrote to a letter to the Internal Revenue, IRS, saying, "I've been unable to sleep lately because last year I filled out my income tax forms. I deliberately misrepresented my income. I am enclosing a check for $150, and if I can't sleep, I'll send you the rest." How many times do we commit to God some of the sins, but not all of the sins? This one doesn't bother me, God, so I'm going to let this one slide a little bit. But this one really bothers me, so I'm going to confess this one right now. As we think about our attitude, do we have an attitude of confession? As we said in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 51, "For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me, against you." And you notice that? It's against you, God, David is saying. My sins are against you. But then he goes on to say, not only are they against you, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Just as my grandchildren will try to do something that I tell them not to do, and they do it anyway. They did it right in front of me. Now, I had to go and child safety the house, and one of the things is putting those little plastic plugs into the sockets, right? Allie got to me one day, and she went over there. She reached over there with two fingers, and she tried working the thing out. And I said, "Allie, don't do that." She looked at me. She reached up there again. I said, "Allie, don't do that. You don't need to pull that out. That's there for your safety." She turned around. She looked at me. She turned right around and said, "Bloop," and popped it out anyway. How many times do we do it and sin in front of God? She was not afraid to flip that on out. I told her twice not to do it, but she did it anyway. God tells us over and over not to do it, and don't we want to do it anyway? Solomon said in Proverbs 28:13, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Do we have that kind of mercy? Have we confessed our sins to Jesus Christ? Do we sit down sometimes and when we have our prayer with God, do we have to really think about, did I really commit any sins today, God? Dr. Fish was a professor at Southwestern Seminary in evangelism. He was doing a revival, and nobody was coming forward, and things were not happening the way he thought it was. So he went back to his motel room, and he got on his knees, and he began to pray. And as he began to pray, he also began to pray, "God, I've sinned, but I don't know what I've done." And he says, "Lord, help me. Help me to see so that I can confess my sins." And he began to see sins in his life that he had not seen before, and began to confess those sins to him. And I believe that is exactly what God is looking for us to do today. We may sin so much that we don't even know what sin is and what sin isn't anymore. But when we ask God to help us to see it, to reveal it to us, He will, so that we can confess it. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Rolls Royce has a factory that makes handmade Rolls Royce. There are not that many of them made in the country, in the world. But those that can afford to use them and buy them, love them. And there was a story about a man that took his Rolls Royce over to Europe, did an extended trip. While he was over there, it broke down. He called the factory. They took and they flew a guy over there, a mechanic, and all his tools over there. They fixed his car, got him on his way, and he went on. Several months later, he noticed he had not gotten a bill from the manufacturing company. So he called them up, and he says, "Hey, I want to pay this bill." And they said, "Sir, we have no record of your car ever breaking down in Europe. We have no record ever of sending anybody over to fix your car." Why did they do that? Because they have a quality car that they say that is good, and that we don't do those types of things. We don't have things that break down that need repair. Folks, that's what God says with our sins. When we come back and say, "God, you know, I sinned, and I asked you for forgiveness, but I haven't forgotten it," God's going to say, "What sin? What sin?" When we confess our sins, He forgets it. He doesn't keep it on in a closet somewhere and bring it out later and say, "You know, remember 10 years ago you did this?" But we have friends and neighbors, we have acquaintances, people that have hurt our feelings, that we have gotten mad at, haven't spoken to in years. Understand what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden we make peace with it, don't we? My mother had an uncle, and as usual they had to squabble over the property that my grandfather owned. Who gets which piece of property, and how did they divide it up equally so that not everybody got woods, but they got some of the prime land too? Well, in the courts and everything, it became a real nasty battle. And for years, my mother and my uncle would not speak to each other. And years later, I still would not talk to my uncle. Families that are dispersing and splitting up because of squabbles. But what's even worse is when Christian families, church families, can't stand one another, and they break and split and create two churches because this one cannot stand the other one. God wants us to forgive and forget. After all, that's what He does. He forgives and forgets. So as we close, I want you to pray this prayer today. I want you to take Psalms 51:10. Close your eyes right now, bow your heads, and say these words, either out loud, silently. "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Amen. This morning we come to have that invitation to make those decisions that God has given us, laid on our hearts, to share with Him, to confess our sins, to invite Him into our hearts, maybe to even join this church. As we stand and sing our hymn of invitation, number 498, "O God, we ask for strength. You come as the Lord leads." No better place to be than in the house of the Lord, gathered together to worship our Lord Jesus Christ together, to lift one another up, to encourage one another, to be together in the small classes in Sunday school. And we just challenge you, leave here with Jesus Christ. Leave here filled with His Spirit. It's not how well the choir sings, how well Jimmy plays, how well I preach. It's how well that we worship our Lord Jesus Christ. It's great to know that we've got good players and good singers, and so it's good to know that that helps. So, but it's not this, it's this. And I want us to leave here today saying, Lord, was my worship pleasing in your sight? If you can leave here with that thought, then maybe that will challenge you this week to serve Him better, to stand taller for the name of Jesus Christ. Don't forget the activities of the week. Pin them up on your refrigerator, whatever you need to do to know of the activities that we've got going. The Fall Festival is a great time for fellowship. It's also a great time if you know somebody that's not in church, that's got children. Bring them to the Fall Festival. It's on our treat. We'll take care of the price of the food or whatever it is. Bring the children to have a great time, to see that, hey, Christianity is not boring by any means. It's fun. It's exciting. And others need to realize that from us, don't they? So let us go with the power, the strength, the peace, the hope, and the love of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, this opportunity to hear your word, to worship you in our song, our music, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ with our tithes and our offerings. And Father, help us now to leave here filled with your Spirit. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray.